Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
When you stand at the stove and your favorite dish is on the front burner, what do you do before you take a taste? I mean, what do you always do? You lean over, you put your nose in the rising steam, and you inhale. You smell the wonders of the food before you taste it. So what happens when an aspiring chef loses her sense of smell? That's what happened to Molly Birnbaum, and she chronicles a life where the nose doesn't know in her new memoir, Season to Taste, How I Lost My Sense of Smell and Found My Way. Molly Birnbaum, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much.
So you were working with Chef Tony Maz at, I guess now it's Craigie on Main.
Right.
And working your way up from being a dishwasher. And you're an aspiring chef, and something happened to you. You got in an accident. Can you tell us what happened?
Sure. Well, it was August of 2005, and I went on a jog near my mother's house in Brookline one early morning, and I was hit by a car. In the accident, I severed the tendons in my left knee, I fractured my pelvis, and I fractured my skull as well.
Bad accident.
It was a bad accident. But the only lasting injury, really, was that I lost my sense of smell.
So how did you know that you'd lost your sense of smell?
It took a few weeks. I didn't realize at first. But eventually, my stepmother made an apple crisp, and she baked it in the kitchen, and everyone in the room where I was smelled it. And they were oohing and aahing over the smell. They said it was delicious, and I could not smell a thing. I thought, this is so strange. And when my stepmother brought it out and held it under my nose, I breathed in deep, and there was nothing. And I knew that something was very, very wrong.
Wow. I mean, the reason why I ask is, like, smell is one of those things that's so, it's maybe the most subtle of the senses, even though it's the most primal mm-hmm. at the same time. So, you know, because when you can't see, you know it immediately. When you can't hear, you know it immediately. But since you wanted to become a chef, you were working every single day to become a master of food. Could you tell, you know, soon after you got out of the hospital that things weren't even tasting the same?
I could. I the head fracture and my other injuries caused me to not really know what was going on any level. But as soon as I realized that I couldn't smell, it became glaringly apparent what that did to my sense of taste and flavor and how I was able to enjoy food.
Could you taste anything?
I had the salty, sweet, bitter, and sour and umami of my taste buds, and I had texture and temperature, but nothing more.
Okay, so, gosh, now that you're describing it, I'm thinking, I wake up the first thing in the morning, I stumble into the kitchen, and it's, of course, the smell of coffee that mm-hmm. really gets me going.
Right.
And smell sort of informs the texture of our everyday lives in ways that we don't even think about. So how did it transform your life not to be able to smell?
Well, in the immediacy, it was not being able to taste, not wanting to eat. You know, a bite of steak was the warm cardboard with salt on top of it. I had a hard time enjoying food. I had an impossible time cooking. I also felt vulnerable. I didn't know if I was burning something in the kitchen. I couldn't smell the smoke. I didn't know if my clothes were clean by my nose. And so I began to realize how much more smell really influences our lives. And it's a cue for lots of things going on in our world.
Well, I was wondering if you can read a little bit from your book. It's on page 103, and the book is Season to Taste, because you write really beautifully about how it's maybe the deepest dimension of our senses, smell, that we don't really realize how important it is until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The whole you don't know what you've got till it's gone problem. But you write about how not being able to smell when you move to New York City really hit you. And can you read that excerpt there on page 103?
Sure. I perched at low tables with a book and a steaming mug and could imagine that the warmth of my coffee held the scent of bean and milk. I spent afternoons at the Met, where Monet's water lilies lost something without the familiar background scents of marble and museum. I went to bars with friends where gin lacked an edge, and I turned conjecture into a game. Which well-suited man was the type to wear cologne? The city was a blank slate without the aroma of car exhaust, hot dogs, or coffee. Nothing was unbearable and nothing especially beguiling. Penn Station's public restroom smelled the same as Jacques Torres's chocolate shop on Hudson Street. I couldn't tell the difference between the bakery on the corner and the cardio room at the Brooklyn YMCA, where I joined the sweaty bodies racing on elliptical machines every morning.
That's Molly Birnbaum reading from her memoir, Season to Taste, How I Lost My Sense of Smell and Found My Way. There's apparently a word for what you suffered, and is that anosmic?
Anosmic, yes.
Anosmic.
Yes.
And that means people who have no sense of smell.
Right.
Okay. So you did a lot of research into sort of how smell is wired in the brain and what it's important into its importance as a sense. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, our sense of smell, we smell because smell molecules come into our nose and the neurons, which run from the nose to the brain, signal patterns, and that our brain reads as complex smells, smells that are often very tied to emotion and memory. We all have that experience of finding a familiar yet surprising smell, and it's bringing back that intense pinprick of a memory from our childhood. Smell is so attached to these larger mm-hmm. things in our lives.
I guess I should have asked this earlier, but was your cooking career over as soon as you figured out that you couldn't smell anymore?
Well, yes. I had to decide pretty suddenly that I wouldn't be able to cook, not the way I wanted, not being able to taste or trust myself to feed other people and know exactly what they were eating. So I switched paths and began to work in journalism.
That couldn't have been easy because, I mean, the way you write about it in your book, you knew, your heart knew that you wanted to spend the rest of your life in a kitchen.
It was difficult. It was very difficult, and I felt lost for many years trying to figure out exactly what I was going to do because I still loved food. I still love food. I'm passionate about the kitchen and cooking. It was just a way of figuring out to do it in a different avenue.
Now, when you lost your sense of smell, it was because of some nerve damage that... Is that right? That happened when you got hit by the car?
Well, what they tell me is that when I fractured my skull, my brain bounced within on that impact and severed the olfactory neurons, sheared them off kind of like a lawnmower over grass.
Sheared them off?
Yeah, sheared them right in half on that impact.
So was it possible for those nerves to heal?
Well, the olfactory neurons are some of the few in the human body capable of regeneration and regrowth. Even in a healthy nose, it's been said that we have completely new olfactory neurons every 2 months or so. So I was lucky in the fact that my neurons could regrow and didn't run into scar tissue or anything along the way.
So you got your sense of smell back?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I did.
So after having gone from having this complete, like, blank slate, not being able to smell coffee, cinnamon, fresh bread, cucumbers... What was the first scent that hit you when you got it back?
Well, I was cooking dinner with my mother, and I was chopping a fresh herb with my knife, and it hit me all of a sudden. It was this earthy, foresty, green smell. It was rosemary, and it was the best thing I have ever smelled.
Wow. The pungency of it, like even you just talking about it, I can sort of feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And did everything sort of come flooding back at once, or was it a one scent here, one scent there?
Yeah, it was fascinating because it was one scent at a time, very slowly over a number of years. And so they would come back, you know, like a light in a dark room, all of a sudden, surprisingly, one at a time.
Wow. So this, the condition of being anosmic, is it common? Is it more common than people might think?
It's actually much more common than most people think. As many as 3 million people in America cannot smell or have a severely muted sense of smell. The problem is that it's such an invisible injury. It's so hard to know who else around you is suffering from it as well.
Well, Molly Birnbaum, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Molly Birnbaum is author of Season to Taste, How I Lost My Sense of Smell and Found My Way. There's an excerpt of her book at our website, radioboston.org.